You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Tonight on ESPN2, it's a WNBA doubleheader starting at 7 Eastern with league-leading scorer Asia Wilson and the red-hot Aces taking on the Fever, followed by the slumping Mystics trying to snap a four-game losing streak against the Lynx. Both games are tonight on ESPN2 and on the ESPN app. And with that, I welcome you back to our studios in Bristol, Connecticut. I'm Mike Greenberg. This is Get Upper with you for the next hour here as we followed Korean baseball this morning. So those of you who are tuning in to see First Take, they will come your way at 11 Eastern for a full 2 hours. We're here for the next 60. We just had James Franklin, the head coach of Penn State, on, who is now another one. He, along with Scott Frost at Nebraska, saying if the Big Ten decides to postpone or cancel their football season today out of the fall, he said it this way, he owes it to his players to seek other opportunities for them to play. So this is a fascinating development in our developing story, where two of the Power Five conferences could decide the fate of fall football in just a matter of hours. Leaders of both the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are expected to vote on whether to postpone football, possibly until the spring. Up first will be a meeting involving Big Ten presidents that begins 30 minutes from now. Franklin and Frost are not the only ones who are making no secret of their desire to play. Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh released a statement yesterday in which he said, in part, "We will continue to follow all health and safety guidelines, teach, train, and coach those young men and their families that have put their trust in us while advocating for a football season in the fall." So we have some newcomers to the program here this morning. Heather Dinich still with me, and Greg McElroy is with me. But look who's here from College Game Day, Reese Davis and Desmond Howard. I'm coming right to you guys. But Heather, quickly, I'm told that you just got off the phone with one of the most prominent decision makers in the entire country. What can you tell us?
Yes, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey and I spoke just before the show, and I asked him how much he's paying attention to the Big Ten and Pac-12 today. He said, "I'm watching with interest," but he told me this. He said, "The decision of others are information points for us, but not determinative for us. He said, "We are today where we were Friday. We think we've put in place a responsible plan." I asked him about his university presidents. He said that they did meet and they talked yesterday. I asked him whether they're meeting again on Thursday. He said they're taking it day by day. So everyone is paying attention, but the SEC, as it seems, at least for right this skinny minute, is status quo.
That's fascinating. And I wonder if he was listening to James Franklin live here on Get Up a moment ago, or to Scott Frost yesterday, with the possibility that, again, I cannot emphasize enough how unprecedented this would be, but the idea that if the Big Ten presidents vote in the next half hour to cancel the football season, that these are two prominent coaches in the conference saying, hey, we're still willing to play. So what could that mean, Heather? I know that you don't know specifically, but generally speaking, what could that mean? Could a conference like the SEC call up Penn State, call up Ohio State, I'm just making names up now, and say, yeah, come on down here and play with us for the year?
Well, I honestly did ask Greg Sankey that question, and he said that he was not prepared to answer it. He kind of caught those comments, especially Scott Frost, just on a whim yesterday, hadn't given it much thought. But I will tell you, there's a reason I'm a sports writer and not a lawyer. I don't know. I imagine, though, that it's extremely difficult, especially with some legal issues. There's probably some contracts involved. But look, I said this before, I'll say it again. If Notre Dame can compete for an ACC championship this season, then anything is possible.
Okay. That's an excellent way to set the table. Reese Davis, host of College Game Day, what do you think?
I think it's a preposterous notion that either of those two teams could join another conference on a whim. And there are a number of reasons for it. First of all, Greeny, it's not feasible from a scheduling standpoint when you already recognize it as much forethought as Greg Sankey has shown. And I think he has been the wisest of the leaders that we've had in college football in trying to extend the runway for as long as he can. The other schools can't just randomly drop into another conference because of some of the issues that Heather brought up. I think what is more likely, while it's coming from a place of concern about their players and wanting to protect the season and to advocate for them, I think is more likely what Scott Frost and James Franklin and others are trying to do is to put a little heat on their presidents to give this a little bit more time and to influence what they say in those meeting rooms without just deciding at this point in the calendar year that they're going to drop the season. In terms of joining other conferences, Nebraska went to great lengths to join the Big Ten. Penn State prior to that did the same. Would they really be willing to undermine that relationship for the foreseeable future to maybe play a handful of games? I think that's sort of a ridiculous notion. It's probably born out of emotion and perhaps trying to influence the vision and the perception of their presidents, though I know reports have said that Nebraska's president has advocated to continue to play.
Desmond Howard is new to the program with us here this morning, of course, College Game Day and everything else. I'm just curious to hear, with all this conversation going on, all the things that are on your mind, what's the most important stuff to you?
Well, let me talk about the Scott Frost comment, because I do think that kind of... Well, it kind of opened up some eyes yesterday, so to speak. When I first heard it, I thought it was kind of absurd. My first reaction was, well, if I'm Kevin Warren, I'm getting on the phone and I'm talking to the president of Nebraska and say, hey, listen, you guys are new to the conference. I'm a new commissioner. But first of all, we can't have your coach out there, you know, with this roguish type language saying that he wants to play anywhere outside the conference if we don't make a unified decision. I mean, if we're going to let you, I mean, just don't forget, Nebraska's new to the conference. You have to make sure that you understand that they've been benefiting financially because of the split. They get $40 to $50 million a year, no matter what their record is, because they're part of the Big Ten Conference. Are you going to cut a check so then you can go and just play whoever you want to play in 2020? I don't think that Nebraska is financially ready to cut a $50 million check just so they can go play 10 to 12 football games this season. So I thought it was kind of absurd, and it was pretty offensive to me to make that type of comment about the Big Ten and about what they're doing as far as if the presidents decide not to have a season.
Now, Greg McElroy, I want to come back to you because in my conversation with James Franklin, the most newsworthy piece of it is going to be that he said that they will explore all options about possibly playing other places. But you've been talking on behalf of the players this morning. And when I asked him, he said, we need to push this back so we can get more information. Honestly, I assumed he was going to refer to when I asked him what information he needed. I assumed he was going to tell me medical information. But that's not what he said. He said, we can't make this decision while I have families saying to me, I'm a fifth-year senior. What does this mean for my scholarship? I'm a high school kid who just came on campus this summer. What does this mean for me? What does this mean for scholarships? What does this mean for third-year players? All these different things that if the presidents go into a room today and they announce the cancellation of this season, they haven't addressed any of those things to the satisfaction of James Franklin's players, and I'm guessing any players around the country. So if you're a player today, how are you feeling, and how reasonable does it seem to you to be making those kinds of decisions without having already settled how you will handle this for the players?
Well, I've stated already today and will continue to state just how terrible I feel for the guys that are playing, because your college experience, Greeny, it's a four-year commitment. It's a finite period of time. And if you all of a sudden are now potentially going to find out your fate of your career via social media, that's really, really unsettling. If I'm a player, I'm desperate. I'm pleading. I'm doing whatever it takes because I would want to play. That's just me. I'm not saying everybody feels that way. I, for one, Greg McElroy, 21-year-old Greg McElroy, would do whatever it takes to play. And if I know the coach that I have signed up to play for, he's the best chance of making that happen, that I would urge him to do whatever it takes to find a solution and allow us to do what it is we love to do. Playing the game is fun, and it's really a big part of my identity at that point of my upbringing too. So I think it's a really troubling situation right now that they could potentially make a decision, a concrete decision, when they don't have to. They don't have to decide right now. We have time. push the season back 3 weeks, align with the Southeastern Conference, say, hey, September 26th, that's when we're going to try to start, and maybe we start practice on September 1st. So that gives you at least two or three more weeks to get all the information possible about the long-term ramifications of contracting the coronavirus. So if I'm a player, I'm desperate. All I want is more time and potentially an opportunity. So hopefully these presidents are listening, because the players are really the ones that are ultimately going to be most impacted.
That pushing it back is essentially what James Franklin was advocating for. Desmond, again, let me come to you, one of the great college players of all time, Heisman Trophy winner. What would you imagine you'd be feeling right now if you were in the shoes of those players? Is it reasonable to be making these decisions, meaning we're canceling the season, without already having decided, well, what becomes of all these kids' scholarships? Right. What becomes of the fifth-year kids? What becomes of the high school kids? How should that be handled?
You know, Greeny, I listened to the interview with Coach Franklin, and that struck me as odd that they wouldn't have answers to what I would consider basic questions. Like, to me, great leadership has foresight. When you knew that this was a pandemic that could possibly, potentially, cancel the college football season, at that point, those scenarios should have been on the table. You should have been discussing these things back in April or May or at the latest in June about, okay, if this doesn't let us have a season, our season's canceled, if that happens, what happens to the fifth-year seniors? All of those things that you talked to James Franklin about, or the things that he brought up, it struck me as very odd that they didn't have just answers to those basic questions that great leadership would have because of the foresight of what could potentially happen to the college football season. So that was very disappointing. And James Franklin, quite honestly, you know, he kind of waffled at the beginning. He said, Greeny, I'm not saying we should have a season. I'm not saying we should not have a season. I'm simply saying we don't have to make that decision right now.
Right.
So I understand how everyone's narrative at this point is let's delay it. I don't know if delaying is going to change anything as far as what they're getting, as far as medical information that is driving these decisions right now.
Reese, what do you think?
Well, the one thing I would bring up, and while offering the caveat that I understand that a different decision could be made, I think it's worth noting as it pertains to the fifth-year seniors and scholarships, what was done for spring sport athletes when their seasons were canceled this past year. They were given that year of eligibility, did not count against them. And in many of the sports, roster sizes have been allowed to expand temporarily because of that. Now, maybe it would be different, but I do think that is instructive, at least seeing how they handled it in the spring.
Heather, who makes those decisions? Are those conference by conference? Is that an NCAA blanket? Because in this case, there is a reasonable possibility, I don't know how likely it is, that some conferences might play a season and some might not. So was that an NCAA decision, or do they each get to decide that on their own?
Actually, this Wednesday, Greeny, the NCAA Division I Council is expected to tackle that issue of eligibility and make some decisions there. But I'll give you a quick anecdote. The athletic director at Louisiana Monroe, Scott McDonald, told me that he offered the spring athletes, hey, if you want to come back, your eligibility is here. And he said 10 of them took him up on that offer, and it's going to cost him $250,000 for those scholarships. So this is could be a backlog, right? It could, and it will definitely trickle down to the high school level, something they've got to figure out, but they'll start talking about on Wednesday.
Okay, so those decisions start to come on Wednesday, but again, today is Tuesday, and these decisions could be made in the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and today, Tuesday comes before Wednesday. Some things haven't changed, even in a pandemic, so if that happens, these players don't, some of them don't know their fate, and that doesn't seem right. All right, all of you, stay with me if you can, because I don't know where we're going next, but it's going to be outstanding. We have so much to do. Nick Saban knows where his players should be in this uncertain time. You'll hear what the Alabama coach thinks, and if our experts agree, I want all of this perspective back as we continue. Stephen A. is on the way in 15 minutes. We are all over this extraordinary story on a day that could change college football forever. Next, Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and let me run the floor before we get back to our top story this morning, take you through the NBA action from last night in the bubble, and take a look at Kyle Kuzma. This is a game-winning three as the Lakers knock off the Nuggets 124-121. That is a buzzer-beating three for a three-point win. Kuzma had a good night. LeBron had 29. Anthony Davis had 27. Elsewhere, a double-double from Jimmy Butler helped lead the Heat over the Pacers, 114-92. Butler had 19 points, 11 boards. T.J. Warren, who has been the highest-scoring player in the bubble, scored just 12 last night on 5 of 14 shooting. And you know who's hot? It's the Suns are red hot. Phoenix beating the Thunder last night by 27 points, and Devin Booker leading the way with 35. Suns are now a game behind Memphis for 8th in the West and a half a game behind Portland for 9th. And if you're looking for basketball, ESPN is the place to find it tomorrow night, starting 6:30 Eastern. Sixers battling for playoff position, taking on Toronto. And that's followed at 9 Eastern by the Clippers, trying to wrap up the 2 seed, taking on the Nuggets. Our coverage will begin with NBA Countdown at 6. That's tomorrow on ESPN and the ESPN app. Back to our top story. In the next 15 minutes, Big Ten presidents are scheduled to meet, and a decision on the fall football season is expected to be made. The season could be pushed back to September 26th. It could be postponed until the spring. It could be something in between. All eyes right now are on the Big Ten. But coaches across the country are speaking about this, including the most prominent of them all. Nick Saban yesterday telling our Chris Lowe, quote, "I want to play, but I want to play for the player's sake, the value they can create for themselves. I know I'll be criticized no matter what I say, but I don't care about player safety. Look, players are a lot safer with us than they are running around at home. We have around a 2% positive ratio on our team since the 4th of July. It's a lot higher than that in society. We act like these guys can't get this unless they play football. They can get it anywhere, whether they're in a bar or just hanging out." So much to unpack, so much to react to this morning. David Pollack is back with us. Dez stays with us, and Greg McElroy. And Dez, I will start with you here on that, because I heard Saban say it, and Jim Harbaugh said a similar thing. And I'm trying to make up my own mind whether it makes sense, whether that is actually an excellent argument for keeping the kids there and letting them play. I will admit I'm violating the talk show host rule by saying I can't make up my own mind if he's right or not. So help me. Is he right?
Well, I think he has a point. He has a very good point. It's the same thing that Trevor Lawrence tweeted out 2 nights ago about the players being on campus are safer than they are at home. And I believe that there's some merit to that argument. But being on campus, are you on a campus that's just with the players as if it's like a bubble-like scenario? Or are there students on campus too? Because, you know, some campuses are going to be online only, and some campuses are going to allow the students to be on campus. I heard Booker talk about it earlier. If you're going to have students on a campus also, then you have to understand that the risk is very higher at that point, because they're at some point they're going to mingle with those students, and those students, they might not be as disciplined. They might not be as committed to the social distancing, to all the rules and the regulations that the football players are under, because they're trying to have a season, whereas these kids, they may be having parties, they may be doing other things and not abiding by those same rules. So now you're putting them in a particular situation that may not be beneficial to them when you're trying to keep them away from the coronavirus. So I understand the argument about if they go home, you can't monitor them. They're not under your watchful eye. That is very true. But if you're on a campus that's going to allow students on campus too, you're going to have a similar type of scenario once the students come back.
Yes, I think that's an important point to remember here. Now, let me go back to David Pollack, because, David, we had you earlier this morning and you commented on this part of the story. But the part that I've not yet had a chance to talk to you about, and again, you travel all over the country covering these games, is this idea of schools and conferences that cancel going off and playing their own schedules. I would really like a comment from you on that. Do I have David? I'm staring only at myself here. There we are. There's David Pollack. David, you heard Scott Frost, you heard James Franklin. Do you buy it? Do you buy the idea that if the Big Ten today votes not to play a fall football season, that Nebraska, Penn State, and maybe some others could call up the Big 12 or the SEC or somebody else and try and put together a different schedule? Do you buy it?
Heck yeah. This is business, bro. Of course. I mean, and I would too. I would be searching for my outlet. I would be searching for my avenue. I would literally be going, wait a minute. SEC's playing, ACC's playing, Big 12's playing. This is bogus. Notre Dame's playing in the ACC and they have a chance to play for a championship. Like, we're an independent, fine. Like, let me join, let me get some games. So, you know, this is why the NCAA continues to get scrutinized, because the NCAA continues to miss the mark and continues to have uniformity or any opinions on a lot of things. So I think if I'm those teams, I'd be looking for work. James Franklin said it, I'm looking out for my kids. I'm trying to give them the best opportunity if they want to go play, which, by the way, the players have spoken loudly about the opportunity of wanting to play football. Heck yeah, I'm going to find it.
I think it is inarguable that if they decide they want to put together a college football season, they'll have enough players to play practically everywhere that wants to. That isn't, I think, up for debate. Greg, can they do it? Can you envision a world where this fall, and maybe this fall only, Alabama and Ohio State are playing for a conference championship or something that looks kind of like that?
I think it's possible, Greeny. And I also think, too, something that we haven't had a chance to discuss yet, I think a lot of people associated with the Big Ten are very concerned that if the Big Ten folds up the tent and they say, hey, we're going in the spring or we're not playing at all here in the 2020-2021 academic calendar year, then what are these players, what's stopping them from transferring somewhere where they might have an opportunity to play? So, for instance, if you're an Ohio State player and you're wanting to play and you're wanting to be a part of this 2020 season, well, the Big Ten decides, you know what, we're not going to go. We can't do it. We can't risk it. Well, if the SEC, the Big 12, and the ACC all say, hey, we're going. We're open for business. We're playing. Then what's to stop right now them transferring from Ohio State to Auburn or Georgia or Florida? Because right now the NCAA is granting waivers to everybody. And that would be considered a hardship. Well, my school's not playing. They are. So that, I think, is an unforeseen circumstance. It's something that these coaches are probably mindful of when taking into account how it could affect their roster in the years to come.
Desmond, I got 60 seconds left. I'll give them to you. What is the NCAA's role in this, and what should it be? If they were to call you up and say, Des, you're a Heisman Trophy winner, help us. What should we be doing here about all of this? What should they be doing?
Greeny, it's interesting you asked that question because I was having this conversation last night. I think before this pandemic, we all assumed that Mark Emmert and the NCAA, that they were like the NFL and Roger Goodell, that this would be on their desk and that they would supervise everything and make sure that everything comes from one voice. Now, we're really surprised that it's not like that at all. Now, if these guys get like a free slice of pizza somewhere, then they're going to come down on them with a hammer. But when dealing with a really important issue like this, they're nowhere to be found. They're nowhere to be heard. And so we do need some unifying voice to bring everything together. I would say you need to have a person in position like a Roger Goodell that can make sure everyone's on the same page. The Big Ten right now, I'm listening to Greg. I'm listening to David. And listen, guys, if you're going to be a part of a conference, you're going to be a part of a conference through thick and thin. Don't tell me if things get bad now you want to jump ship after you've benefited financially for so many years, despite that your team has suffered on the field, and now if things get rough, you want to jump ship. To me, I just don't like that disloyalty. It doesn't sit well with me at all.
That is a provocative thought, and I have to leave it there because I'm up to the bottom of the hour. All of you, thank you very much. As this conversation will continue, and we will add another voice, and you don't want to miss it. Stephen A. Smith will join us next with his thoughts on what Nick Saban said and what Jim Harbaugh said and what they should do next in college football. Stephen A., next. Get up, ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tonight on ESPN, it's the final of the MLS is Back tournament. The Portland Timbers taking on Orlando City. It's tonight, 8:30 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and on the ESPN app. And we've reached the bottom of the hour, 10:30 in the East. I'm Mike Greenberg in Bristol. This is Get Up on ESPN with you for the next half hour. If you're tuning in to see First Take, that is coming your way in its entirety starting at 11 o'clock. But the good news is Stephen A. Smith is coming up live in just a moment, right after I get up and go and take you through some of the other headlines in the world of sports. Major League Baseball has begun preliminary discussions for a postseason played in hub cities, according to Jeff Passan. I told him 2 weeks ago they needed to do this. Now it looks like they will. The playoffs would start in 3 hub cities for the wild card round, then shrink to 2 hub cities for the division series and beyond. Elsewhere, Indians starting pitcher Mike Clevinger will go into quarantine after he violated the team's coronavirus protocols. He and his teammate Zach Plesac Saturday night in Chicago both went out. Clevinger flew home with the team before they knew of the violation. He was scheduled to start tonight against the Cubs, so those two have been separated from the rest of the team. And then, of course, that brings us to the big story. As we speak, Big Ten presidents are scheduled to meet starting right now, 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, to discuss the possibilities of postponing or canceling the 2020 college football season. That obviously has everybody talking today. And among those who have been talking about it with us all morning long are Booger McFarland, Paul Feinbaum, and we are delighted to bring Stephen A. Smith into the conversation. And Steve, we've covered so much ground already this morning. I hardly even know where to begin. So I will just ask you for your big picture thoughts as the college football season and maybe the sport as we know it to some degree hang in the balance today. What are your thoughts about where we are and where this should go?
Well, I think that we're in a chaotic situation. It's an abysmal situation, and I think it's the fault of the leadership or lack thereof associated with college football and the NCAA overall. It's an absolute cesspool as far as I'm concerned. I have profound respect for the Nick Sabans, the Mr. Harbaughs of the world, obviously James Franklin and Dabo Sweeney and all of these guys. But the reality is that everybody has been left to their own devices. You've got conferences acting independently. They can't come together on anything. The ACC is different than the SEC, is different than the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is looking at what the Big Ten's going to do, et cetera, et cetera. You've got all of that going on. This pandemic, you know, hit us in January. It really, really percolated significantly in February before the cancellation of the seasons in March. The NBA was canceled on March 11th. The March Madness was soon to follow. All of these different things were going on, and the cancellation came into play. You had all of these months to come to the conclusions, and you still have failed to do so. I heard James Franklin earlier on your show, Greeny, and I definitely understand where he's coming from. Delay, delay, delay. There's still plenty of time. But who's going to make the decision? And who is it going to benefit? And how do you know what benefits one conference is going to be to the benefit of college football, et cetera, et cetera? You've got so many question marks because you have no leadership. If this were the NBA, if it's Major League Baseball, if it's the NFL, NFL, whether we agree or disagree with their decision, at least there's somebody that we're able to point to that's in a position of leadership and authority that has the power to make certain decisions. And then we're able to say, okay, here's who's saying this. This is why they're saying it. Here's what they believe. This is what their rationale is, period. In college football, you can't do that because they don't have a leader. And because you don't have a leader and you damn sure don't have a plan, how can anybody trust what you're going to do, particularly when it's involving the lives of kids who are not professionals yet, who are not being paid, who, by the way, have to consult with their parents, and even the institutions themselves are consulting with parents. How in God's name can you come to a definitive conclusion when there's no definitive voice? It makes no sense. And that is why I have taken the position that I have taken. I'm sitting there saying, go ahead with the games. But I did not anticipate that this flagrant absence of leadership would be so prevalent in August of 2020. It makes no sense whatsoever. And I think the comeuppance due to college sports should be the cancellation of the football season, because we don't have anything to point to.
We'll see if that is what winds up happening. Paul, as far as the Stephen A's criticism of the NCAA, that's something you have said on this show many times, and I know have felt for quite some time. And one of the things James Franklin told me at that interview is one of his reasons for wanting to push back this decision is that he has players asking him, well, what happens to my scholarship? What happens to the fifth-year guys? What happens to the high school guys? This could be a decision on that could be made in the Big Ten today. And Heather Dinich told me the NCAA is getting together tomorrow to start figuring out the answers to those questions. That doesn't make sense to me, Paul. That does not. That I think, is a great example of what Stephen A. is talking about.
Yeah, as for Coach Franklin, I think it was very passionate, and I respect what he's saying. However, I think the NCAA and I think all the various conferences are going to take care of these players. I don't think that one works. Another thing that Coach Franklin and Scott Frost said at Nebraska, I find to be preposterous. Nobody in the Big Ten, the richest college football league in America, is leaving the Big Ten for a season. They would pay penalties in the tens, if not close to $100 million to try to get out of there. And they wouldn't do it for a season that may not even happen anyway, Greeny. So for the college football coaches in America, I get you're playing to your players and your fan base, throwing them as much red meat as possible. But don't come up with that. That's simply implausible. And one more thing about James Franklin that I listened to with your interview with him. You kept asking him, well, what should we do? And he said, well, we're talking to trainers and we're talking to people and we're doing this and we're doing that. But ultimately, the medical experts are going to make this determination. And I shared with you an hour and a half ago what the commissioner of the MAC told me. He said his medical expert said, you can't play. It's unequivocal. I'm hearing the same thing right now from Pac-12 medical advisors. I don't think you're going to get one medical voice on the West Coast and not get the same medical voice in the Midwest. I realize this is a virus that is novel. We don't know a lot about it, but we know enough about it that it is very dangerous to do what college football represents.
Paul, I understand that there are HIPAA laws and things like that involved, but why the secrecy about what? But why can't we just know what the medical advisors are telling them? It makes sense to me that they would just tell us. Our medical advisors told us specifically this, as opposed to letting us all guess and wonder and telling us what trainers are saying. Paul.
I'll say this as the spouse of a physician, Greeny. My best friend has gone to her and she won't discuss the case, even though I sent him to her. So I understand HIPAA, but this is not about HIPAA. Medical experts are sharing this information every single day on every single network. There's nothing secret about what medical people think about this virus. And I think it's high time that these conferences share this information with all of us.
Book, jump in here on any part of this that you find most interesting, whether it's what should happen with these kids, what should happen with the NCAA. How about the idea of Ohio State coming down and playing LSU this year for a one-year situation? What do you think of all of this?
Well, I think Paul makes a good point about leaving the richest conference in America for one season. It sounds good. It sounds great for the headline, but that's not going to happen. I think Stephen A. makes a really good point about these kids. Because over the weekend, we all looked at the point that went viral, hashtag we want to play, hashtag we're in it, whatever it is. And we say, man, good for Trevor Lawrence, good for Justin Fields. But let's remember, these are kids. They're not in a position to make any decisions whatsoever. And we as the media, we got behind it. Hey, these kids want to play. But let's remember, these kids have been asking and demanding things for years, some of which they've gotten, some of which they haven't. So now all of a sudden, we want the universities and the presidents and ADs, let's listen to the kids so they can go out there and play. That's not going to happen. From a medical standpoint, the medical teams, the lawyers, those are the ones that have to make this decision. Not Scott Frost, not Ryan Day, not James Franklin, not Nick Saban. I don't care how powerful these college football coaches are. If I'm a parent at home and my kid is at the school, I want to talk to the medical expert, and I'm pretty sure that the presidents want to talk to the lawyers and find out the liability. That's what this boils down to. This has really nothing to do with Nick Saban or Ryan Day or any other prominent coach or player. And so I think that's what this is going to boil down to. And Stephen A., to your point about NCAA leadership, I think we're at a crossroad right now. And Paul, you know this. The Power Five has been threatening to kind of do their own thing for years. Paul, could it be possible that Mark Emmert and the NCAA are saying, okay, we're in the middle of a pandemic. You guys have been threatening to do your own thing for years, but right now you're really showing that you have no leadership. You're really showing that the commissioners of each conference can't even come together to figure out how to play football. Hell, y'all can't even figure out a start date. And Mark Emmert is like, okay, so y'all really want to do this on your own? And right now you have no leadership right now. So maybe Mark Emmert, who hasn't said a word, is just kind of sitting back watching this and saying, okay, well, you really want to do this.
Stephen A.,
Here's why I disagree with you. To criticize leadership, you'd have to have leadership ability, which means you'd have to have a clue as to what that entails before you're critical or in a position to actually set somebody up to expose their deficiencies. Mark Emmert, one could argue, is so deficient, the only thing he's an expert on is being deficient when you consider his leadership with the NCAA. So don't get me started with them. I'm not about to fall for that one. The fact of the matter is that when you look at these big five conferences, certainly they're not even on the same page with each other. We get all of that. But this is a medical issue. This is not about football. This is about medical expertise. And think about this. Let me go from a macro perspective, guys, not trying to get political here in any way. But when you look at, for example, when President Trump is criticized for something involving this, the primary reason he's criticized is because he speaks on things that he has no business speaking on because he's not a medical expert. We don't want to hear from the president as much as we want to hear from Dr. Fauci. You've got folks out there questioning the medical professionals to a point because they're saying, damn, this has been going on for months and months and months. We know about personal protection equipment. We know about wearing a mask and gloves and engaging in social distancing. Did you give us an update on the potential timing of a vaccine? Now, he gave us that yesterday. He talked about how it wouldn't be surprised at all if we had something by the end of the year. It was conceivable. But the point that I'm making is that he spoke on those things, and it was a medical professional who said it. They are relevant. They matter because we have been encouraged to follow the science, not about opinions, not about partisanship, not about emotion. It's about scientific fact. What is our situation? What are we dealing with? And as a result, we're seeing parents out there, along with kids who are obviously young men and women, that are standing up and saying, yeah, could you give us that information? We're not really interested in opinions. What is the situation and what are you prepared to do? And college football right now does not have a definitive answer from anyone. You had James Franklin on the show earlier on Get Up, like Paul Feinbaum said, Greeny, and you asked him, okay, what do you suggest? He supports pushing the season back. He supports not canceling the season, but does he have a definitive remedy to ultimately provoke a season taking place? The answer's no. Who else has it? Nobody. And if you don't have it, then guess what? You ain't saying much. Period.
Stephen, I have 60 seconds left. I'll give them to you. Do you believe, with all of this said, that there will be any college football played this fall in America?
I think there might be. I don't think there should be. I think it should be canceled immediately. And the reason why is because there is no leadership to point to. Nobody's leading anything. That's the problem. Even with baseball and the transgressions that they've had,
Rob Manfred has spoken. This is what we're doing. Here's where we're going, for better or worse. They don't even have that in college football. They can't agree on what to have for lunch. It's ridiculous.
But they definitely agree that you better not give it free to the players or we're going to have a problem. Stephen A., live in 16 minutes. First Take coming your way right here on ESPN. Guys, outstanding. Thank you all. I need to take a short break here. We'll come back with much more. If there is no college season, it will have an enormous impact on the NFL draft. And coming up next, we have two people who know exactly what it will mean. Mel and Mike T. Live next, Get Up ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and as the college football season hangs in the balance, one of the really big questions here is the impact that its potential cancellation might have on the NFL. The 2021 draft is scheduled for April 29th in Cleveland. There is no reason to believe that's going to change. By the way, the top pick of last year's draft, Joe Burrow, tweeted yesterday, "I feel for all college athletes right now. I hope their voices are heard by the decision makers. If this happened a year ago, I may be looking for a job right now." And no one made more money than Joe Burrow did with last season. And so I brought in my favorite two experts on this, Mike Tannenbaum, who's the general manager of my team, and Mel Kiper, who is the guru of the draft at ESPN Forever. Mike T., I'll start with you. If there is no college football season, how does that impact, if you're a general manager, next year's draft?
The impact is massive. We take an inexact science and make it even murkier. Talking to a couple of teams last night around the league, Greeny, it just makes draft choices next year less valuable because you just don't know what you're getting. And you alluded to someone like Joe Burrow. This time a year ago, we didn't even know who Joe Burrow was. You've mentioned that before, Greeny. He was a failed quarterback at Ohio State. He had a very average first year at LSU, and the rest is history. So there's going to be some players that, unfortunately, if we don't play college football this season, we're going to miss the Joe Burrow stories this year.
No question. Mel, how about from your perspective, what would the impact be on the NFL draft if they don't play college football this fall?
Also, think about Kyler Murray, how far he moved up and where he was regarded in August prior to his final year becoming the number one pick. Same thing with Baker Mayfield. Like that third, fourth rounder becomes the number one pick overall. I think you look at how you evaluate players will be different if there's no season. You have to go back and evaluate them prior to this season, obviously. But the kids who would have been first-time starters, kids coming off an injury, coming off a year they were a nickelback, they were a key reserve, special teams, this was going to be their year, which means you have to talk to the coaches, position coaches at those schools, say, hey, who are some of those guys or you know, nobody else knows, who are ready to emerge that we haven't seen on the field because we weren't able to see them play this year, that we should maybe take a chance, take that leap of faith on. Also, draft choices, moving up, moving down. Those third, fourth rounders now will be a little iffy where before they were more defined. So will you be looking for draft choices the following year to move out of there? Will you be looking less more opportune to move up and target a guy that you don't necessarily have as much information on? I think a lot of it will go, I think, to the information you already have, plus those relationships with those college coaches, I think, will help the NFL immensely.
Mel, how about the possibility that there is some sort of season in the spring, one that might run right up to the NFL draft? We'd be talking about, I don't know who's playing in that, but if they wouldn't be in the combine, all that. What impact would that have, do you think, on the process?
I would wonder what first and second rounders would feel the need to risk injury playing in the spring with the draft coming up. If you get hurt there, it impacts your rookie season. But guys like Jamie Newman, quarterback moving from Wake Forest to Georgia, he really needs to showcase that talent to really move up. A guy like Jabril Cox moving from North Dakota State, a great linebacker to LSU, needs that year. Tony Poljan, tight end out of Central Michigan, moving to Virginia, needs that year. So some guys like that will feel, hey, I got to play in the spring. But the other guys who are defined first rounders, I think, will pretty much opt out and not risk that injury.
And Mike T., let's not even just think about the players who move up. Trevor Lawrence is going to be the first pick in the draft regardless of what happens, or let's just say for the sake of argument that he is. But how about all the development that he loses? If you're drafting him, he loses a full season. This is a guy who should be playing another year of college football, all those starts and everything else. How does that impact the development of these players?
It's a great point. Your expectations have to be managed. Next year, there could be some bumps in the road in terms of not playing for a full year. And let me bring that into context. You're a big, big Jet fan. They just acquired two first-round picks. If I'm Joe Douglas, the general manager of the Jets, I'm thinking, should I call Jacksonville or Baltimore right now and see if I could get Matthew Judon or Yannick Ngakoue and get a proven pass rusher? Because if I draft a guy next year who doesn't play this year, he may not impact that team until the end of 21, maybe 2022. So am I better off giving up one of these first round picks and get some instant sort of value for him during this season? So the permutations are really somewhat complex, and I think we're going to see some unusual trades this year because their picks next year just won't be as valuable if, in fact, we don't play college football this season.
It's an important point. Mel, I've got 45 seconds left. What's the other thing that, or any other thing that you think fans should be thinking about right now as we work our way through this process?
Well, I think if no season, I think you mentioned Trevor Lawrence. Justin Fields, quarterback Ohio State, he showed a little Patrick Mahomes. With a season, normal season, could he have challenged for that top pick? Things like that, I think, and I mentioned some of those transfers, would be critical to see how they would have performed in that new environment, in a new conference, with a different team in a different situation. So I think those are things you hope you see this year. If you don't have a season, it's going to be really challenging for those NFL personnel departments to try to get it right come late April.
These are decisions that literally might be being made as we speak. The Big Ten presidents meeting right now, they may vote to postpone the season potentially all the way to the spring. Mike T, Mel, thank you both so much for your patience and everything else today. It has been a wild ride this morning. First Take is coming up next. More coverage of this, and they'll talk about the Lakers, who already have the one seed, but these games are still important. Coming up, they'll talk about why Kyle Kuzma might be the key to a Laker title. First Take next on ESPN. And that is all the time we have on what has been a busy and consequential day. We will see you to cover it all tomorrow morning. Get up on ESPN.